Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, my name is Ryan White, and I work with Young Life in the communities of Jenison and Allendale, and I'm also an elder here at our church. This morning, we are continuing in our study of the gospel according to Mark. We are going to be in the second chapter of Mark this morning. I invite you to turn there if you brought your Bible with you. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, that's okay. You came to the right place. There are lots of Bibles in this room. I invite you, if you would like, grab a Bible from the pew in front of you. This morning, we are going to have the opportunity to do something that we call parallel reading. And so if you have a Bible in front of you, you will be able to do that. Whereas otherwise you'll just read from Mark. But what parallel reading is in the world of biblical studies is there are times throughout the Bible where a story appears in more than one location. And when it comes to the gospel accounts, the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get several of these instances that occur. And the story that we will read this morning is one of those. So in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17 is the story of the calling of Levi. And this story also occurs in Matthew. So if you page the book right before Mark is Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. The same story occurs. And then it occurs in Luke chapter 5. So I invite you, if you would like, as we move through this story this morning, we're going to read it a couple of times. If you want to actually follow along in either Matthew or Luke, go ahead and do that. Mark will be on the screen. I'll be reading from Mark. But if you want to practice parallel reading, I invite you into that this morning. And as we do parallel reading, here is kind of a couple good questions to ask. First is to ask, what are the similarities? As we're reading through these stories, what are the observations that we can make about the things that are similar in the different accounts that we read? And then secondly, what are the differences? And then maybe more kind of in line with the differences, we can then ask the question, why? Why is it that we see these differences in these different accounts? And there can be some really interesting responses to that, one that we'll dive into a little bit this morning. Why is it that in Mark and in Luke, for example, this is titled The Calling of Levi? And Levi is the character, it's the name of the person in this story. If you read Matthew's account, however, it's the calling of Matthew. It's the same person. Yes, it is the Matthew who is the disciple Matthew who wrote the book of Matthew. Why does he refer to himself as Matthew, and why do Mark and Luke refer to him as Levi? Questions that we can get to when we do this parallel reading thing. So I invite you into this process this morning. A little bit of a different flow. I find that when we have shorter sections of scripture in particular, shorter stories, for myself, it's helpful if I read it more than once. Sometimes I'm a little slow, and so I miss things the first time, and so like reading it a couple different times is helpful. And so we're going to read this story just right here at the beginning, and then we will take a look at some of the characters that are involved in the story and hopefully give us a little bit more of a fuller understanding of where the characters are coming from. And then we will read the story again, hopefully through a different lens. And then we will talk a bit about the application and what we can take from this. All right. The story of the calling of Levi as recorded by Mark in his second chapter. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The story of the calling of Levi. Levi, the tax collector. Let's talk about him first. What do we know about Levi, the tax collector? Again, AKA Matthew. Yes, Levi's name is also Matthew. We'll get into that in a little bit more in a moment. Tax collector first. What did it mean to be a tax collector at this time in history? First and foremost, being a tax collector meant that Levi was employed by the Roman government. The Roman Empire was the empire that had the influence over this portion of the world at the time. And it was unlike any empire the world had ever seen. One of the things that made the Roman Empire so successful and dominant is that they built roads. They built roads like nothing had ever, that they hadn't had before. These roads that connected the farthest reaches of the empire to the others. And this allowed them to transport goods and materials along the roads. Now alongside these roads, in order to pay for them, what the government did is they set up what you and I would think of as toll booths. Right? A toll booth, like just last weekend, I went to Chicago with my daughter on a field trip, and we took the Chicago Skyway. If you've ever taken that section of road, you know it's a toll road. Our bus stops along this toll booth. This is mostly an automated process now in our world, right? You kind of pass through and it collects your information and then you pay the toll, right? This is likely what Levi's role was because there was a very common and popular trade route that passed right through this area. It was called the Via Maris. The Via Maris passed right through the town of Capernaum. Here's a map. I couldn't find a map that had Capernaum on it, but the Sea of Galilee is this northern body of water here, and on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee is the town of Capernaum. This is where we understand that Jesus had the basis of his adult ministry. And so right through this town is this trade route that exists from the Roman Empire. And so Levi likely is sitting along this route and collecting tolls from people as they pass by. This is Levi's job. Now, back to Levi and his name. What's some of the significance in the name of Levi? He was likely given this name because he was a Levite. That's a mind-blowing statement, isn't it? Levi, the Levite. So what were the Levites? The Levites, if you remember your Old Testament stories, were a tribe of Israel, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And their role, their kind of God-given assignment in the Jewish community was to work in the temple and the tabernacle before that. So they were kind of the servants of God in the tabernacle and in the temple. This was their job. It was a high calling for them, right? To be able to have this role in their society where they could serve God and serve the Jewish people. Levi apparently isn't doing that. Not only is Levi not doing his role as a Levite working in the temple for God, who is he working for? He's working for the enemy. He's working for the Roman government, this empire that is kind of keeping the Jewish people under its thumb, suppressing them so they're not able to achieve kind of the fullness of what they believe they could be. Right, Levi has kind of jumped ship from the Jewish community into the Roman community, and he's working for them. Okay, this is the story of Levi. And then we get a little more story of Levi's banquet, this banquet that he throws, which I think this is a funny part of the story. If you read it in Mark, Jesus says to Levi, "Hey, follow me." And Levi, apparently, hats off to him, no hesitation, gets up and follows him. Where's the first place that Jesus leads him? back to his house to have a banquet for him. That's kind of like a funny comment. Levi's following Jesus. Where are we going, Jesus? You're going to my house. Oh, okay. All right, here we go. But at Levi's house, at this banquet, we are told, are other tax collectors and sinners. How we should understand this phrase, sinners, is simply to be that they are people similar to Levi. They are people who are of the Jewish community, so they are Jews by their heritage and their ethnicity, but in some way, shape, or form, maybe not exactly, probably not exactly the way that Levi has, they've left that behind. And they are following another route, they're following another path. All right? Pharisees. Let's talk now about the Pharisees. When you hear the word Pharisee, in my mind, I think right away, like, oh, these are the enemies, right? These are the enemies of Jesus. They're hypocrites. These are the people that, man, they had it really messed up. They're the bad guys. An honest reading of the Gospels and the way that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John presents the Pharisees, this isn't an inaccurate, like, understanding of the Pharisees and their role and their kind of contention with Jesus. However, it's not 100% fair. So can we, for a moment, take a step back from that viewpoint and try to understand the world through the lens of the Pharisees? First thing to know, the Pharisees were deeply devoted to God. Deeply devoted. The same God that you and I worship. They were deeply devoted to this God. They knew the Old Testament scripture. They knew it. Any one of them would put any one of us to shame as far as their knowledge of the scripture that they had at the time. These stories of people and how God has interacted with their people, they knew it. They loved God. They knew the stories of Israel. They knew the times when Israel had gone off in their own direction and were following other gods and how that led them to a place of then other nations conquering them and God's not blessing, not being over them. They knew those stories and kind of what caused them to go off the rails. They also knew the stories of the times when God was blessing them and what it took to have God's blessing on them as a nation. They knew these stories well. They also knew the prophecies. Prophecies in the Old Testament scripture that spoke of this Messiah who was gonna come, who for generations this Messiah had been promised, that prophets had written about this Redeemer King, a person who is going to come and restore the nation of Israel to its rightful place in the world. And there were a lot of different ideas as to what that was going to look like, but they knew these prophecies. And you know what they knew too? Within those prophecies, they had interpreted that the time, it might be near. We've been reading these prophets for hundreds of years. These have existed. And you know what? We see signs that we might be living in the generation where this Messiah is going to come. Holy cow, this is amazing. What should we do? Well, let's look back at our Bible, our Old Testament scripture. We got to follow all the rules. We got to make sure we're praying the right way. We got to make sure we're eating the right food. We got to make sure we're doing everything right so that we're ready for this Messiah to come. Did they have the wrong ideas of how to apply that? Yes, they did, but this was the heart of the Pharisees. They wanted their Jewish brothers and sisters to be ready when this Messiah was going to arrive. And who were the people in their society who were kind of leading the Jewish people in the wrong direction by their perception? People like Levi, who had abandoned their roles in the Jewish community and gone to seek after something else. And those other sinners that Levi hung out with. All right, let's reread the story now with that lens and that understanding. In Mark. If you want to read it and follow along in Mark, great. If you want to switch, you were in Matthew before, just go ahead and switch to Luke if you would like. But here is the story, once again, the calling of Levi as told by Mark. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." We've talked about Levi. We've talked about the Pharisees. Leaving out maybe the character we're most interested in, following Jesus. Where is it that Jesus stands in all of this? First thing to understand, Jesus was a Jew. He was Jewish by his heritage, by his ethnicity, and so he shares this commonality with Levi, as well as he shares this commonality with the Pharisees, who were also Jews. He was a Jewish man. And this was something in their society that united people. They were together. It made them understand one another, that they shared the same heritage and the same stories. So Jesus, he was a Jew. If you've hung around church for a while, that probably isn't all that surprising. But what might be surprising is this. Most likely, Jesus was a Pharisee. Hold on a second. What do you mean? We don't know a lot about the time between when Jesus was an infant, right, and he was born, and when he began his ministry. We believe around when he was about 30 years old. We don't know a lot about the time in between that. Luke gives us one story of when Jesus was 12 years old and being left behind at the temple. Outside of that, we don't have any information. Why is that? Probably because Jesus lived a pretty typical life of a Jewish boy, and what a Jewish boy would have lived. He would have been learning his father's trade, and he would have been going to school, to Jewish school. He would have been learning the Old Testament scriptures, memorizing them in his classes, which I imagine came really easily to him. He probably crushed all those memorization contests. All his classmates were like, "Oh, who's this guy? I always get beat by this Jesus guy." Right? But he did this. He knew this stuff. He grew up in this world of studying the Jewish traditions and the history of Israel. And in the Jewish religious world, just like today, there were different kind of subsets of Jews. So let's think about our world today. As we have different kind of subsets, sometimes we call denominations in Christianity. There are Catholics who follow their kind of a set of rules and traditions and have a belief system on how we believe it is to follow God. There are then also Protestants, the umbrella that we would fall under. We have our own set of traditions and rituals that we believe of how it is best to follow God. And then under Protestants, there are also a bunch of other ones, Baptists and Reformed, all of these different things, different subsets of what we think it means to seek after God in this life and how to do that right. Now, in the Jewish world, it was similar. There were Pharisees, a group of people who believed a certain kind of set of rituals and followed rituals and traditions. And then there were Sadducees who did the same thing, certain set of rules, traditions, rituals. And there were others as well, but those are the two main ones that are mentioned in the Bible, right? And so it is likely the reason that the Pharisees get so much attention in the ministry, the time of Jesus, is because this was the group that were his people, that he grew up with, that maybe he had been in classes with all throughout their growing up years. Like, this was his community. They would debate back and forth on how to follow God and what this meant. It's likely that Jesus was a Pharisee. And so Jesus, he has one foot kind of in the world of the Pharisees, the Jewish religious elite, and he has one foot in the world of kind of like Jewish mainstream, the people who are questioning a little bit, like, what's going on in this world? Should we still follow this God and stay faithful to this? He's navigating this. And praise God, this is the story of what Jesus does. He bridges the gap. Right? This is what he does for humanity, what he did for humanity in his work on the cross, covering that gap that exists between God and us. And he's doing that here in this story too. Something else that was common in the Jewish tradition, and still is common, is to gather around a table. And gather around a table for a meal. We see it in this story where Levi throws a banquet for Jesus and it has Jesus. They gather around a table. And the Jews, again, did and do this way better than we do. And there was a lot of significance of gathering around a table. Right? Gathering around a table is the place where stories were shared. It was the place where parents would teach their children things about the Jewish faith. Their food had meaning. The way that they had prepared it and would eat it, that would have meaning. The dishes that they would eat off of had meaning and significance. Gathering around a table was a place of deep significance. What had happened by this time that we can see in this story is that the table that the Pharisees set had become a table of judgment, a table of exclusion, right? A table, I think, from an intention of wanting to be good and following God, but it had become about following the rules. We gotta eat the right food. We gotta say the right prayers. We have to make sure the food was sacrificed in the right way. We have to make sure we're cleaned in the right way and we don't come into contact with people that are unclean or other things that are unclean. We have to do everything right. And so their tables become a place that were more exclusive than they were inviting. But not so the table of Jesus. The table of Jesus is based on grace and forgiveness. A place where even people who haven't followed all the rules perfectly, who haven't said all the right prayers or eaten the right food, can come and can experience forgiveness, hope, redemption. This is the table that Jesus sets. So, a question, kind of in conclusion, that is maybe a rhetorical question. What table would you rather sit at? And as we think about maybe even more like taking this next application, as we think about our lives as people who are now God's ambassadors on earth, and we get to participate in the process of sharing the kingdom of God and spreading the kingdom of God, as we seek after God in our life, what table are we setting, are you setting, for others to see? The brand of Christianity that you follow and you live out in life, is there a subtle, a subconscious kind of expectation that, oh yeah, people should worship the way that I worship? Oh yeah, they should be praying the way that I pray. They should be spending money, their money, the way that I spend my money. They should be supporting the politicians that I support. Right? When we do this, it sounds like it becomes a table of judgment, a table of exclusion, that you have to do all of these other things right. But that's not the table that Jesus invites us to. And if we want to be little Christs, if we want to be Christians, our calling, our invitation is to set table of grace and forgiveness, one of hope and redemption. Do the rules still matter? Yes. Jesus even himself says, I've not come to abolish the law. I've not come to just throw out all the rules, right? Rules still matter, and there are certain things that matter. But man, we need to practice above all else the reality that we don't see the full picture. And so our table and how we represent God on earth should be one of grace and forgiveness, hope and redemption. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for this story, for the calling of Levi, for all that was going on in his world, for the Pharisees, God, and their desire to follow you, but having gotten it wrong, the lessons that we can learn. God, and remind us that we get it wrong too sometimes, but even in that, there's always forgiveness from you to come back to your table, the one that is based on grace and hope and forgiveness and redemption. God, I think now especially too of Ezariah and Carson and Peyton, who just made their profession of faith, as they think about setting a table for their friends at school, as they think about being in their family and how they are going to follow you and what that looks like in their life, God, I pray over them that they would be people who set tables of grace and forgiveness, of hope and redemption. God, help us all to live our life in that way, modeling it after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.